When I was talking about how prophetic it was that the worship team did It As Well With My Soul, because what I'm going to be talking about today is how important it is to keep an eternal perspective. And I'm not sure which button do I use, Brad. I guess I could play with it. Not that one.
Hey, I'm going to get some snacks.
No, not that. There we go. I'm going to let you do this, Brad, okay? Yes, I will just mess it up. Keeping an eternal perspective when we're looking at life, when we are experiencing life and going through it. And the author of that hymn, I'm sure you've probably heard the history of that, was Horatio Spafford. And he wrote that after experiencing a couple major tragedies in his life. One was his son, his four-year-old son, died in the Chicago fires. And he was very wealthy and had invested in a lot of land, and it all burned. And so that happened. And then he was planning a trip to England with the rest of his family to partner with D.L. Moody on some preaching tours. And at the last minute, he had to pull out of the trip, and he was going to come later. And so his wife and four daughters went on the journey ahead of him. And halfway there, the ship sank, and he lost all four of his daughters. So then when he was following to go and console his grieving wife, when he passed the spot where the ship went down, where he'd lost all of his children, those words are what the Lord put in his heart, to sing, "It is well with my soul." He had suffered devastating loss and financial loss and family and all of that, yet he could still say, "It is well with my soul," because he had such faith in Jesus that he was sustained through the process of that. And to me, that's just keeping an eternal perspective. It's not just about the immediate here and now, but it's looking beyond that. And we have a great example in Corinthians where Paul is recounting to the Corinthian church just this whole list of things that he had experienced as a missionary. As he was the apostle to the Gentiles, so he was traveling all around the area, planting churches, checking up on churches, bringing encouragement, and a lot of the area was sketchy that he was traveling to, so he experienced a lot of things. But I want you to let's go through some of the things that he experienced while serving the Lord. So you can read this with me if you'd like. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again." Now that's pretty bad, just right there. But then he goes on, "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel it? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" This is like the most epic country song I've ever heard, right? What else could go wrong? Have you ever had a bad day? These are the things that he experienced, yet you don't see Paul shriveling up. And I look at Paul's life and his trials, and I want to discover where he got that strength to not stop. He didn't get beaten once and then, okay, this isn't for me. He continued on, striving on, because his faith was so strong, because of the eternal promise that Jesus had given him. It wasn't just about the here and now. I wanted to teach you a phrase that I try to live by, and it kind of helps me keep that perspective of eternity. So say this, in light of eternity. In light of eternity, I try to look and view everything that I may be dealing with or struggling with that phrase. Well, in light of eternity, is this really a big deal? I taught that to a couple of my classmates in my master's program, because we were all up until, we had until 12:05 to turn in this one paper, and all of us were just struggling with it. We weren't sure, there wasn't clarity on what we were supposed to do, and we're constantly texting each other and encouraging each other, and we're just getting so stressed out. And finally, I just texted him. I said, you know what? In light of eternity, this is no big deal. It's just a paper. And that relieved such a burden off our shoulders. And, you know, we're just encouraging each other back and forth. And that was our mantra for the rest of the program was, okay, wait, we're getting a little spun out here. In light of eternity, is this really a life-staking thing? So I give that to you to begin to say to yourself and remind yourself as you deal with things and struggle with things. And they may be big things, but in light of eternity, put it into that perspective. It's going to be okay. So a few years ago, I was doing a bunch of kind of self-educating and learning about how childhood trauma affects people, how it wires their brain and how it can change how their brain functions and how they respond to certain things. And so I was learning quite a bit, and I was introduced to a phrase that was a trauma, looking at the chaos or the situation with a trauma-informed lens. And so I began to think about that. And so it was, instead of having like maybe just my mom lens that I'm looking at the situation and that's not okay and here's the consequences and all of that, to a trauma-informed, where you're looking beyond the situation into the why. Where is this coming from? What caused this? What triggered this? So it was just a different, you're processing things differently. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how we view life through different lenses that we have. And the first is viewing life through a me lens. And what does that look like? You know, life is hard and lonely, but with Jesus, we have comfort, hope, and peace in the midst of it. We're never alone. But looking at life through a me lens causes us to, kind of internalize it. What did I do wrong? You know, why did that happen to me? And we're just focused on what's going on in here. I think of the struggles and the trials that Paul went through, but I never hear him saying that. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? What is going on? Was he in sin? A lot of times we think when bad things are happening to us, you know, it's because there's sin involved. Paul was right smack dab in the middle of what God was calling him to do, yet he experienced all of those things. But he was never alone, because God will never leave us and never forsake us. John 16:33, Mike actually shared this verse a few weeks ago, but it's one that has brought me great comfort since I gave my life to Jesus and began experiencing some pushback and difficulties because of my faith. Say this with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So Jesus tells us right there, you're going to experience stuff, but take heart, because I have overcome it. I have overcome the world. That's the blessing that we have as believers in Jesus. We go through loss and struggles just like anybody else, because we live in this world. This is where we reside. But we're never alone. He brings us peace in the midst of it. You know, we are not called to live a life only for ourselves, but we're called to love and serve others. That's how God wired us to be. It wasn't just me and how is everything affecting me and I need to take care of me, but He calls us to lay our life down and serve other people. In Galatians, it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And then 1 Corinthians says this, "No one should seek their own good, but the good of others." That's how God wired us to be, and it helps us get away from just looking at life through the me lens and putting it onto others. I was having a conversation with a family member's therapist a couple years ago, and we were talking about depression, and she said something that I just thought was so true and so powerful. But she said one of the greatest remedies for depression is volunteering. She then went on to explain that because you're getting the focus off of just you and you're helping other people. You know, I grew up in 4-H and student leadership, and we were always volunteering all around the community and stuff. And there's just something that feels good about that. Have you ever done something like that? It just feels right. One time I packed all the kids up because I had noticed out here on Pittsburgh Road, there was just getting a lot of trash all over. So I loaded them all up in my car. We came down here and I outfitted everybody with gloves and everybody had a garbage bag. And we just went out and hit the road. That was an education. You have no idea what people toss on the side of the road. It was interesting. It was a little scary. Some things were like, okay, I'll take care of that. But they were just amazed because I knew there was trash there, but we went down into the culverts and stuff, and we filled up bags. We had to come back and get more garbage bags. I could not believe it. So we did that all the way down to the nursing home here and both sides and came back and then sanitized ourselves. And as we were headed back home, you know, this is not a glorious, you know, thing that we just did. But it wasn't for us. It was just to serve. And here's my little kids saying, "When can we do it again?" Because it's just how we're wired, is to serve and to give and to sacrifice. And so they loved it. I mean, who would have thought, you know, you want to go to the movies or you want to go pick up some trash? Trash! But it's just how we're wired. And it does. It gets the focus off of us into helping other people. I heard a quote this last week that said, "The cure for depression is purpose." So kind of the same thing, like as volunteering or as doing something else, it's having a purpose in life. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with something like that, to just ask the Lord, open the door, Lord, so that I'm not just processing life through that me lens, but that I am out giving and serving as well. It's time for us to come out of the shadows and be the church in our community. Amen? Yes. Another lens some view their life through is a them lens. And, you know, our eyes are on how other people are doing or what they're experiencing or not experiencing. It's getting the focus, you know, off of me, but then it's all focused on them. And the focus should be on what God is calling me to do, not His calling for someone else. In John 21, this is a story where Peter and Jesus were having a conversation, and the Lord was asking Peter to do something, and just read this with me. He said, "Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' And Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me.'" You know, I love the gift of having the word available to us. And I try to read it every day and study it every day and meditate on it every day. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has spoken through His word to what I'm going through at that particular time. I know he showed me this verse one time when I was really struggling with something that someone had done that affected me. And, you know, then I see them kind of moving on in life and things were, you know, just seemed amazing. And I was struggling with that and kind of saying, hey, what about this? And this was in my devotions that day. And when I got to, what is that to you? It just resonated. What is that to you, Molly? If they're doing that, it's not your job or your responsibility to take care of that or to bring about repentance or any of that. What have I called you to do? So getting it off of, you know, hey, what's going on over there, to, you know, not looking at life that way. And looking through a them lens can rob us of happiness and contentment. It can take, you know, your present joy in something and twist it around. And we see this happening in a parable that Jesus told in Matthew, where there was a landowner that found some people that needed work. They were unemployed in the marketplace. And so he came and he hired these people that needed work and they needed income. And they were very grateful and they made their agreement on their wages and they went to work. Well, then he came back a couple hours later and he found more people that were in need of that. And so he hired them and put them to work for the day. And he did this until, you know, all throughout the day, until it's like just an hour before shutdown time and he's still hiring people and giving them work to do and provision. And in Matthew 20, the reaction to the people that were hired first, this is what they said. It says, hey, these men were hired last. They worked only an hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? So by getting their eyes off of, they went from being thankful in the morning, wow, we're going to earn a denarius, we're so thankful for this, to, hey, what about him? Why does he get the same thing I get? Their joy for being employed was robbed and taken from them. So it's so important not to view life through that them lens or me lens, but to focus on our eternal lens. To keep an eternal perspective, we need to view life through an eternal lens. You know, I believe Paul was able to endure that litany of things that had happened in his life for a couple reasons. And one was he was convinced of the truth of the gospel. He was willing to lay his life down to spread the news of the gospel because his eyes weren't on what was happening in this world. His eyes were on the prize of what is to come. And even earlier, an eternal perspective gives us the strength to endure the present situation. In the same book, where letter to Corinthians, where he goes through all of those things that he'd been experiencing, earlier in the letter, he writes this. He had that understanding of eternity. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now say this with me. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This is the guy that just said he was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, floating around in the ocean, robbed, all of those things. And he's saying, come on, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, is forever and ever and ever. Help us to focus on that, Lord. Focusing on what is to come releases hope in our heart. It keeps us from getting bound up in just the here and now and what I'm experiencing when I focus on what is to come. Again, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what Paul encourages the church with. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That gets me so excited because I can really imagine a lot of stuff. I can imagine really, really awesome things. And I've experienced awesome things even this side of eternity. But when Paul is telling him, you know what, nobody can fathom what God has prepared for us. And that's why we need to focus on eternity, have that eternal lens, that eternal perspective. You know, there's an expiration to this life, this body. I don't know what it is, you know, 70, 80, 90 years, 100. I had a granddad live to be 104, so that's, I want to beat him, but just a little competitive. And, but there is going to be an end to this life. But we can hold to the hope and the excitement that there is no end to eternity with Jesus. And that's why, that's what we need to focus on, because what we focus on changes our whole perspective. Amen? Last night, Mike called me in the room to show me this commercial that he kind of got a chuckle out of. And I'm like, that's perfect for what I'm talking about tomorrow. So he downloaded it for me and stuff. So I just want you to enjoy this. This is called Gene and Gene on the Road or something like that.
Hey, I'm going to get some snacks.
Okay.
Oh, please don't leave me again.
Gene, I said I was sorry.
You drove away and left me at the station for 3 hours.
I came back. Gene always comes back.
Yep. Okay.
That's what you should be focusing on. I came back.
Right.
Because we keep talking about me leaving. Let's start talking about me coming back.
Yep. Okay. Going to get some snack nuts. Don't drive away.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I almost did it again.
Oh, I saw that.
I'll stay right here.
So, okay, I'm going to tell on you, Brad. He's like, okay. He came up, he previewed that to make sure that it all worked and stuff. He goes, I've done that before. Because he has a motorhome and he thought everybody was loaded up and he's on the road and he gets a phone call. Hey, where are you? So it can happen, but we don't focus on the fact that they got left. Focus on the fact that they came back and picked you up. Have you been feeling just a little beat up, discouraged, stressed? The good news is that we can change how we view that. We can change the perspective that we're interpreting our life with. I just want to take a moment to just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to each one of us different areas that we've had a wrong perspective, how we have viewed life. Lord, I pray that you would birth in our hearts that eternal perspective, that we would look at our life with that eternal lens, that I'm not living just for right now, but I'm living for what is to come, for eternity. Your word says that you place eternity in the hearts of man. So I just pray, Lord, that you would fan that flame, that anyone that is feeling down or discouraged or depressed or have given up hope, Lord, that you fan that flame of hope in our hearts of what you are preparing for us one day. Lord, I pray that anyone that doesn't have the hope of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, would just ask you into their life right now. You know who you are. If the things that I've talked about just don't even really make sense because you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, and you're just going through life trying to keep your head up and trying to survive on your own. And if that's you, I just want you to join with me in prayer right now. And just repeat this after me. If we can just all rise. Thank you, Lord. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive your forgiveness. Wipe away my sin. Thank you for doing the work, making the sacrifice that I can spend eternity with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we just give the Lord glory? Thank you, Lord. Well, I think I ended in record time, so you're welcome. And so good to see all of you and those that are joining us on YouTube as well. I hope you have a wonderful day and just go in the love and the peace of Jesus. Amen.